Turn to Psalm chapter 7, where this morning we will finish our musings, our meditations on this great psalm. If you recall the historic context of this psalm, is what we're told in the title, that this was a psalm which David sang to the Lord concerning the words of Cush, a Benjamite. And as we have learned, Cush was slandering David and slandering him as a king. We see that in verses 3 and 4 that David says, if I have done this, if there is wrong in my hands, if I have repaid my friend with evil, or plundered my enemy without cause. That was the charge, or the charges, in the plural, that Cush was bringing against the king. And so David was taking this matter entirely to the Lord. What Cush was accusing David of, David makes very clear in verse 8, that he was innocent of the charges. He says, judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to the integrity that is in me. In other words, vindicate me. Lord, vindicate me. You know, Cush is not saying something that's in private. He's certainly not coming to me directly about this. No, this is something he's spreading publicly. He is bearing false witness against me in the public forum, and I am innocent of these charges. And so, as we've seen, David showed his confidence in the Lord because in verse 1 he says, in you do I take refuge, O Lord my God. He turns to God to save him from all of his pursuers, to deliver him. We also saw that not only did David have confidence, but David had humility and integrity. And as well, David rested all his hope, all his certainty and security for what would be the outcome of this matter, of this incident, entirely in the hands of God, who David says will judge the peoples, because God is a righteous judge. Remember in verse 6, David petitions the Lord, rise, O Lord, in your anger. Lift yourself up against the fury of my enemies. Awake from me. You have appointed a judgment. So David here is crying out to the Lord to deliver him from the oppression of Cush, the Benjamite, and, of course, to deliver him from all of the consequences of Cush's slander against him. And in this, we see that David is actually teaching us about the Lord as a righteous judge. You know, in verse 11, God is a righteous judge and a God who feels indignation every day. And if you remember, I said in the Old King James translation, it says, God is angry with the wicked every day. Now, with the wicked is not in the original Hebrew text. That was something that the translators of the KJV inserted there. But they inserted that there as a matter of giving more of the sense of what the text is saying. That who is it that God feels indignation toward every day? He feels indignation every day towards the wicked. And in this case and in this context, it's toward the wicked who are persecuting the people of God. That's the context. That's the context. Cush was not just going after anybody. No, he was going after the man whom God appointed to be king of Israel. This man who was a man after God's own heart. He was the Lord's servant. And so David is petitioning the Lord to rise up in his righteous anger and his righteous judgment and deal with Cush and all those that may have been following him in this sin. Well, This morning, we finish Psalm 7, considering verses 12 through 17. And in verses 12 through 16, this particular portion of the psalm is very important for us to understand and to look at very carefully. As David has prayed for the Lord to rise up in anger and to lift himself up against the fury of his enemies, here David is expressing almost it's a word of counsel, a word of teaching. Verse 12, if a man does not repent, now that's the contingency here. So that man in this context would have been Cush. So you can understand this. If Cush does not repent, what is God going to do? God will whet his sword. He has bent and readied his bow. He has prepared for him his deadly weapons, making his arrows fiery shafts. Now I can tell you that that is a divinely inspired word picture of the Lord our God that many, many people in the church don't have a clue about. Because the word picture that is being expressed here about the Lord is of a warrior. God, in his judgment, if this man does not repent, the Lord will come after him in his judgment. But the picture is of a warrior, one who has whet his sword, who has bent and readied his bow, who has prepared for him his deadly weapons, making his arrows fiery shafts. Do you ever think about the Lord in that context? What's interesting is the two weapons that are mentioned here, the sword and the bow. Those are metaphors that are bespeaking the inescapability of God's coming judgment to the unrepentant. That is, the sword is referring to those who would be near, the bow to those who are far away. It doesn't matter where you are, whether you're near or whether you're far, you will not escape the judgment of God if you do not repent. Okay? That's the point. That's the principal point that's being made by that metaphor. But again, who's the target? The target are the wicked who are coming against the people of God. That's the target. So if these people, if they don't repent, then God is coming after them. His judgment, his holy anger, they will receive. But what's interesting is how they will receive it. Verses 14 through 16. Behold, the wicked man conceives evil and is pregnant with mischief and gives birth to lies. Again, that's what Cush was guilty of, what he was doing. But look at this, verses 15, 16. He makes a pit, digging it out, but look what happens. And falls into the hole that he has made. His mischief, verse 16, his mischief returns upon his own head, and on his own skull his violence descends. Does this not make you think of the book of Esther and that man who had a real problem with Mordecai, Haman? Remember how much Haman hated the Jews, but he especially hated Mordecai? And Haman went forth, as we know, I won't go through all the details of it, you can go back and read it in the book of Esther, but what we're reading here in Psalm 7 is exactly what happened to Haman. The gallows that Haman built to hang Mordecai on, who instead got hung on the gallows? Haman. This makes you think of Galatians 6 and verse 7. God is not mocked. whatever a man sows, that he'll also reap. You see, that's the principle here. That's what we see being taught here in Psalm 7. That the wicked, doing what they do against the church of God, harassing the people of God, hurting the people of God, harming the people of God, whether it's by their words or maybe by their hands, they will get their comings up. But note this, they'll get their comings up unless they repent. Because remember, verse 12 begins with the contingency, if a man does not repent. If a man does not repent. So if they do not repent of what they're plotting, of what they're devising, of what they're planning to carry out against the people of God, then God will defend His people. Now let me give you a New Testament reference to this, which I'm sure you have read before, but maybe you didn't really read it. You read it, but you didn't really read it. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I want you to turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. There is a portion in this chapter that echoes what is being taught in Psalm chapter 7. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verses 16 and 17. 16 and 17 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at this. Do you not know that you, and the pronoun you there is plural. That's not singular, okay? Plural. Paul is writing here to the church. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? All right, now look at this, verse 17. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will do what to him? God will destroy him. You mean there's a verse like that in the New Testament? I thought the New Testament was all about the God of love. A lot of Christians don't read their Bibles carefully. This is a warning. Those who seek to destroy the church of Jesus Christ, what they have devised will come right back on them. God will destroy them. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you, church, you are that temple. I think we're special. Yes. Yes, we're holy. That is, we're set apart for God and by God. Not in ourselves, but because of what God's grace has made us in Jesus Christ. We are His. And so the Lord is going to defend His people. He is going to defend them. He is going to take up for them. This is why the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 12 and verse 19, saying to us as Christians in relation to the world, do not avenge yourselves, but give place to the wrath of God. For God has said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, remember Paul writing to Timothy, his last letter, 2 Timothy chapter 4, talking about Alexander the coppersmith. He said, Alexander, the coppersmith, he did me much harm. And then he follows that with, may God repay him according to his works. God is going to get Alexander the coppersmith. He's going to get his comings up. If a man does not repent, judgment is coming. You may think this is a very strange analogy. I thought about it this morning, and I just I I can't get it out of my head, but the Liam Neeson movie Taken. Not the sequels, the first one, the best one. The most famous scene in that movie, if you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. It's the phone conversation. His daughter's been taken, and the kidnapper gets on the other end of the phone with Liam Neeson on the other end. And Liam Neeson, you know, he makes an offer. I mean, he basically says to the kidnapper, look, you repent, get my daughter back, you'll live. But if you don't, I have a skill set. And I will find you. You know, and you know, for us, when we watch that movie going, yes, yes. Well, God has a skill set too. There's nothing like man. And you mess with the Lord's children, you mess with His people, and you don't repent, He's coming after you. Cush the Benjamite. Now see, we don't know what happened to him, do we? Did he repent? We don't know. But David was reassuring himself by the Holy Spirit breathing these words in him, the Lord will judge the Cushes of the world. He'll judge the wicked who afflict the people of God. And that is why David closes Psalm 7 in verse 17. I will give to the Lord the thanks due to His righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord the Most High. God takes care of His own. You can rest assured in that. You can rest assured in that. You see, David was essentially saying to the Lord, Lord, Cush is picking on me. That's how we would put it in the kids' vernacular. He's picking on me. Well, the Lord hears, the Lord knows, and the Lord will take care of people like that. You know why? Because verse 11, God is a righteous judge and a God who feels indignation every day. That's why. That's why. Thank God that He is who He is. A righteous judge. And what has this righteous judge said in the universe? This principle, whatever a man sows, that he'll also reap. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do express to You holy praise for the righteous, holy judge that You are in truth. And Father, we thank You for the revelation of Your word that we know as Psalm chapter 7 and how You teach us and how You encourage us and how You comfort us, Lord, as Your people, knowing that when the wicked of this world come against Your church, when they seek to destroy Your people, however they choose to carry out such destruction, their wicked deeds will not go unnoticed by You, Lord. But indeed, as we have learned from Psalm 7, You have a payday coming for such people if they do not repent. They will get their comings up, not by us For you teach us, Lord, that to our enemies, if they're hungry, we feed them. If they're thirsty, we give them drink. Vengeance belongs to you, Lord, and you will do the payback, and we trust in you for that, even today. Indeed, Father, as we think and consider the times in which your people are living in this world, in our own country and in other countries across this world, these are dangerous times for the Church of Jesus Christ. We certainly feel, Lord, the ramping up of more and more persecution against your saints here in this nation. Persecution that would come by words and laws, but it could even be worse than that. And so, Father, with David, we say, "Arise, O Lord, in your anger. Lift yourself up against the fury of our enemies. Awake for us. You have appointed a judgment." Holy Father, we cast such cares on you today, trusting you with all our hearts, that because you are indeed a righteous judge, because you have indeed appointed a judgment, and you will judge the peoples, and we trust in you that to those who are godless, graceless, wicked sinners who carry out wicked deeds against the people of God across this world, Lord, we trust that you will deal with them in your way, in your time. And we take great comfort in this as your people, for we will see true justice meted out by the holy sovereign God, who is our Lord, our Savior, our Father, our Redeemer. We thank you and bless you, O Lord, for such works that are yours in behalf of your saints. Even this day, let us not forget what you taught David that we have in Psalm 7. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, for his sake we pray. Amen.